Hi, I'm Steve.
How's it? I'm Sam.
And welcome to the Business and Beers podcast. Guys.
Hey, guys.
Welcome to episode 3 of Business and Beers. It's a great honor and privilege again to have Grant Greef with us. If you guys haven't listened to the first episode he did with us, it was an episode 2. Please have a listen. He chatted to us about his business and what they went through during COVID. And today is going to be a bit more of an upbeat and positive episode because he's going to tell us about what Grant's currently doing now. Has he started a new business? What does the future look like for Grant? So Grant.
It's a movie, the comeback kid.
Yeah, exactly. So Grant, tell us, how's things? What's Grant up to today?
Great. Thanks again for having me. And all right. So when of course COVID hit, we were in an environment where the business was not operating. And so my partner and I, Chase, we looked back and we assessed what we had learned over the years and what we felt confident and competent in, and what was happening within the market in a sustainable way. Because I know there's a lot of hand sanitizers and mask businesses that started.
I think did you sell masks? That's a real question.
I did not. The thing is that was an excellent opportunity for many, many, many people, especially to diversify and get revenue in. But Chase and I had an approach where we said, what is something that is going to be sustainable even after this sort of extreme pandemic? Because there is going to be a lifestyle change, and what is that behavior going to look like? And so what we landed on is within the space of logistics. We've had many years of experience in logistics now, especially the last mile logistical space, and especially around digitizing systems and platforms and integrating them in such a way where we can automate and optimize the whole process. So from that, we actually founded a company called OpenRoute. Mm-hmm. Okay. And OpenRoute, the core of OpenRoute is around matching businesses with trusted transport providers. And we do that also with a really reliable technology that we use. And this is kind of how we've moved in the space. But I have to be honest with you, is we have pivoted the business many, many times. And as anyone that ever starts a startup, you will realize is you identify a problem, and it's really important to obsess or to really get detailed within that problem that you want to solve.
Yeah.
But the solution actually can have many different forms and shapes. And I think, a great phrase or a great quote that people use is that have a very tight grasp on the problem and a very loose grip on the solution. And I think for us, that has been very much the case. And we've let ourselves learn as well over the last 6 months, and we continue to do so. And to be honest, we're at a position right now where Chase is going to be continuing with OpenRoute full time. Okay. And I'm actually going to be moving out of the business because it can't support us right now together, because we've got other employees in the business as well. And I'm actually going to then take on an opportunity outside of the business. So spending, call it 20% of my time with OpenRoute, while Chase spends 100% of his time in it. And then for me, literally just to be in a position where I can be earning a standard of living so that we can give the startup the best opportunity to get through these next crucial months.
Okay. Would you say, obviously in the previous episode you chatted about what happened to your current business. In your previous business, were you dedicating 100% of your time? Did you always have a plan B, or did the COVID just force the hand to be like, okay, Grant, you need to do something else?
Well, I think there's never a plan B, or for us, there hasn't been a plan B, because that would mean then that we're not doing this to the best of our ability. So for me, that's very important. Like I shared in the prior episode, but at the same time, I know a lot of people say that you need to be 100% focused on one thing, you know, and you should not do two things at the same time. And I really do think that that depends on the person. And I think the reason why is that some people are operators, some people are builders, some people are, you know, if I summarize, some people like strategy, some people like execution, for example. So for me, what I've always been passionate and I believe competent within is in the creative side of building. And I actually don't think I'm a really good operator, if I think about it. And what I mean by operator is, and that's why Chase and I work so well together, my co-founder, is he really is a systems-driven person. And, you know, when I say, let's jump, he goes, okay, but, you know, how long is it and how much is it, you know, going to cost, or what's the time? And I'll say, no, but let's just jump, and then while we're in the air, we'll get to it. So I think we need to appreciate that each of us have call it a different capacity to handle different situations. And for me, I think that it's important for me to be in a position where I actually am reading or engaging in something else, because what that inspires from a creative aspect is something that I can actually contribute within, say, OpenRoots, or, you know, in the business that I'm in. So to give you a practical example, in the prior business that that we were running that has unfortunately had to close down now because of COVID's effect, we, you know, Chase would run the operational side of the business, but then I would focus on a little project that we were doing on the side. And then the project wouldn't work. And then I would go to another project, and then I'd focus on that project. And yeah, that project would work. And so I think that it's that type of really, really important synergy that can happen, but you need to make sure that you're aware about what you're capable of, because I would never recommend someone in a position that really wants to just focus on crossing the T's and dotting the I's to be given four different projects at the same time. I think that you need to make sure it works for you.
And I think you touched on a critical point there. And I think it's something that it can be argued, I think, a lot. And, you know, is it culturally, is it maybe superhero movies? And the point that I'm trying to make is, I think the way that we've kind of been brought up in, you listen to different podcasts, you watch videos, you watch superhero movies, that people almost get this mindset that when you become an entrepreneur, when you become a manager, when you become a leader, you must be the person to know everything. And it becomes an egotistical thing where if I don't know, I'm not actually going to say I don't know, because again, the cultural driven mandate or metric in organizations, from leadership, management, whatever, is if you don't know, you open yourself up, like we said in the previous episode, to this vulnerability. And then you almost get this mentality that if I don't know, someone's just going to target me. But I think you raised such an important point that we need to identify as individuals what our strengths are, what our weaknesses are, and actually be okay with it. Like, it's perfectly fine. For example, myself being in a sales role, it's perfectly fine that I don't know much about, let's call it, financial management. You know, that's something that I've never gone into, and, you know, I'm never going to be a chartered accountant. Yes, I might have a fair grasp on basic concepts, but for me, building relationships and getting the door down and building trust and, you know, enhancing the sale is something that I've just naturally grown into and really mastered the art of that. Whereas, like, Stephen as a business owner has really mastered the art in certain things that I will never get to. But I think the quicker, and, you know, you can obviously echo the sentiment, but the quicker you realize what you're strong at and what you're not, the actual quicker you can move forward and you can optimize and make yourself a lot more successful. Because like you say, you know, you would work on a project that wouldn't work, but another one would, whereas your partner Chase, you know, he would have a complete different approach on different things. But by merging those two skills, you've got a completely optimized business.
Yes, and you know, if I reflect on everything, you know, Chase and I, it doesn't just happen smoothly. So for example, he can probably share many arguments that we've had, and you know, he's like said, Grant, you're an absolute tool. And the thing is, for me, that is actually super healthy, because we're arguing from an intellectual capacity, there's nothing personal in it, from a sense that I just don't like you, that's why I'm not going against this. Or so we argue about the subject at hand. We don't argue about each other, all right? So it's the subject that we're arguing about, or the project, or whatever you call it. And then what is very fundamental here is that we both agree before the argument happens, even, or before the debate happens, we both know where we're headed, and it's in the same direction. And I think that really is important, is we both are aligned to where we see ourselves going, and we want to make sure that direction is reached, or that direction is actually kept in line. And so the argument happens not out of our personal ambition to win that argument. It's out of the collective ambition to move forward to the direction that we both have already agreed on. So I think that everyone, you know, has their own opinions and their own observations and perceptions about how they see a certain situation. And it's just really, it's really rewarding when you are given an opportunity to focus on something that you do really feel confident about. You may not even necessarily be the most competent person, but if you do have confidence within it, and you're given the space so that you can actually try new things within there, and if you do fail, or if there is a mistake, that there is enough support and there's enough resource in there to allow you to continue and then to work and to go from strength from there. So I know there's many concepts around, or phrases around, fail fast and all that, but overall this whole thing is just about experimentation. And you know, whether it be entrepreneurship, there needs to be or if you look at this, it's entrepreneurship or intrapreneurship or innovation. It really is about, it's an accumulation of tiny experiments into one grand experiment. And if you get that grand experiment right of, you know, will this business succeed or not, or will this project in my department succeed or not, then it's excellent. But you had so many little tiny experiments that you were doing within there. And you need to make sure that environment allows for you to do those little experiments and to make mistakes and so on, so that ultimate goal or that objective can be achieved.
Yeah, I think, Grant, it's amazing. And I think you've explained a lot about Chase. Maybe we need to get Chase on an episode or two. But Grant, just one question for our listeners. Are you and Chase friends from school? If not, how did you meet him? Because obviously, and what's come across is in both episodes we've had with you is that the partnership and having the right resources in the right place can determine success or failure of certain things. So can you just explain with Chase, or if Chase is a mate from school, other leadership people that you've had to put into leadership roles, how did you choose them? Or was it about a relationship or competency? Can you explain that to us?
So I met Chase on the rugby field, actually, but we didn't really know each other, so call it an acquaintance then. So I played, I think it was one game against him, and then out of school and in university, and then when I went full time in business, I was chatting to a family friend of mine, and Chase at the time was busy with an entrepreneurial venture, but he was looking for getting into something now after that, because it just wasn't what he wanted to stay within that particular type of business. So then we connected over, call it a coffee or a juice. I don't drink coffee, so it was a juice. so we connected and the initial discussion wasn't, you know, a grand plan that we were going to take over the world. At the same time, when you have this when you have this beginning phase, it's really needs to be organic and not forced. So he first joined on. At the time, it was our event staffing business that we had, and we would hire waiters and bartenders out for events, and that's how we started. And then we went from there, and we bought the hiring business, and really that was how it happened. And only then, when we've gotten now to this position where we founded OpenRoot, has Chase really, excelled at being a co-founder and a partner, from the sense that he has taken on such an incredibly vital role, and he has taught me so much. Yeah. And I would have, if I had tried to control his career path, if I try to tell him you need to do this, I would have been restricting what he's actually achieved. Yeah. And I think this can go to anyone, and not just Chase. But what I'm saying here is that he self-taught himself code. He now does integrations between platforms, which is a very fundamental thing within the space that we're moving in, the cloud space that everyone's moving into now, the cloud platforms. So he has now completely evolved, and it's not because of me specifically. It's because the environment that we both were in was conducive for that to happen, for each individual to develop. And that happened throughout our business. And that's what we continue to try to reinforce here, is that the fact that it's the environment that I have control over, not the individual. And yeah. So it's the environment that allows them to take that tool and start using it.
So, and just touching on that environment, because again, so obviously, previous episodes all like doom and gloom and life's not great and a huge amount of mountains and stuff. And, obviously now coming into the comeback, in terms of what the future looks like, has it impacted your guys in terms of planning, in terms of looking at these businesses now that you're going forward, to almost make it like foolproof for pandemics? Because one thing that's like really been on my mind this last while is, I think what COVID's done is will go down in the history books as one of the greatest pandemics that's pretty much like nearly sunk the world. But I think one thing, if we take a step back, is what COVID's highlighted is, I think a lot of the times as people, as individuals, as businesses, as entrepreneurs, like the list can go on, you don't necessarily plan for like these pandemics to happen. I mean, when you and I were having coffee at the V&A waterfront, like the last thing you don't even think about it, that like if I just say to you in March when we were having coffee, Grant, listen, but next month you're closing your company down, like you would have slapped me across the head. You would have told me like, what, you have no idea what the hell's going on. But and they always say that it's like my favorite saying, but like the best perspective is, well, the best sight is hindsight. But I mean, looking at what the future looks like now, like, has this pandemic impacted what you guys are in terms of going at into new businesses? Are you guys looking at businesses that are now kind of, if we can call it, foolproof, that are catering for potential future pandemics? Like, what does the future look for you guys in terms of where your thinking's at and, what the strategy is?
So I think that, I can... I'll speak for myself then. The space that I'm in now is a space which has been an extreme. So I've always experienced personal setbacks. I've always experienced something that I thought was going to go right and then it didn't, or these uncertainties that then come about that you did not predict or forecast. But this is just the uniqueness of it, or the uniqueness of it has been the extreme aspect to it, the real extreme aspect, where it hasn't given anyone enough time to really adjust to the extent. And some people have, which has been incredible, but for the most part, it really hasn't. So my outlook going forward, though, is still the same with regards to the uncertainties that are always involved within doing any sort of venture, right? And the risks and the rewards that come with it. And I think it's just a matter of also understanding about excess, because if someone has lived a life of excess, or if someone has lived a life where there has been so much inefficiency, and I'm not saying excess just, you know, people buying stuff. I'm saying it in business as well, is when you don't need the things that you thought you did.
Yeah.
I think that in reflection and a key learning around this is making very certain that what you do invest in, spend in your business, really make sure that it actually adds to the business, or the trajectory of the business. Because for the most part, what I recognize, even from a personal standpoint, in our business, when we had to do a lot of cost cutting, I looked at some of the elements. For I'll give you a real example, is we had water tankers, water towers, you know, that everyone can have water from.
Yes.
And we immediately cut that, and we then had big jugs of water that everyone used, and it worked perfectly. But that saved us thousands of rands a month.
Thousands.
And it's a simple, yeah. So, but I mean, you know, because we had a team of you know, right at the end it was 33 people. So the thing, and it's hot, and everyone's in the warehouse, and so everyone was just, and that's something that was so small, but it was actually excess. And so now, you know, that learning has just, it's just exposed the certain excess that we did have, and also given me an ability now to just be more alert and be more aware about, am I spending on this, and is this going to contribute to what we're aiming to achieve? And if not, then we're not considering it.
Yeah.
And that's really important of what we've, and me personally, what I've come across. And so the uncertainty is always going to be there. This has been an extreme uncertainty that has come into the mix, but we still need to stick with the same sort of, or I'll be sticking to the same sort of approach, and also in a position where I do have to swallow my ego and go to, you know, and actually leave the startup that we have now from a full-time point of view, because it financially can't afford both Chase and I. Yeah. And the rest of the team that's in it. And I now have to use, call it my experience and call it qualifications to be in a position where I can go add value to another business. And that's something that is, you know, that a lot of people wouldn't, I think, want to admit. And it's something that I've had to reflect on a lot, but it's for the better of the startup. It's for the better of the team. If it's going to make that a success, then I need to do it. And I think that is something. But at the same time, the positive, the real positive side of it is that I now get to go into another business. And yep. I've been chatting to a lot of business owners where I'm literally going to be in a position where I can contribute value,
yeah,
to that business now, and also learn a lot that possibly I'll be able then to inject in our business that we have, our startup business. So they really, it's just how you look at it. And it's not about restarting. My opinion of this whole thing is a lot of people get really down when at the end of the day, you don't do that one thing that you wanted to do. But I always mention that as long as you built on what you built yesterday,
yeah,
you're moving forward or you're developing. So just make sure that whatever you do, you don't just keep on restarting. Don't just start a new foundation every single day. Make sure that you built on what you did yesterday. It doesn't matter how small it is. It doesn't matter how small that increment is. Just make sure that you've added to it.
Yeah, we just keep moving forward.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah, Grant, thanks so much. I just want to say from Simon and my side, thanks so much for being on the podcast with us. Thanks so much for being open and honest on a lot of, yeah, the things that you've shared with us, not just from a business perspective, but how people should tackle life in general. Is there somewhere where people can follow you? You're on LinkedIn or anything like that, where if someone just wants to find out more and just in years to come to see where Open Route takes you guys?
I think if any of our listeners, and I mean, yeah, you know, if you open up to that, because I think a lot of the times there is a huge amount of vulnerability, and, you know, being able to speak to someone that's been in the position, you know, it helps you a lot. And I think a lot of the times, exactly like you say, people are too afraid to ask for help. You know, so if our listeners can reach out to you on LinkedIn or email or whatever, You know, where can guys reach you, and what's the best platform to follow or message you on?
Yeah, so again, thank you so much for having me. And I think the best place to reach me is on LinkedIn, Grant Grief. You can search for me there, and then you're welcome to connect and add a note. You know, in terms of if you do want to connect on a more conversational basis. Otherwise, I'd just love to engage with everyone and get everyone's other perspectives on things as well, because this is a two-way street and really making it mutual. But again, thank you to you. Thank you to you guys for everything. And I think, you know, this is, yeah, we're all in this. We all don't know the answers. I certainly am not an expert in it. But I think the most important thing is just to be open and transparent. And from that collaboration just naturally happens with humans.
100%. Yeah, we look forward to when we can come down to Cape Town actually having that beer with you.
Definitely. I'm looking forward to it.
Cheers. Cool.
Cheers.